From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of May 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, China is moving to halt a steep slump in its economy. Monsanto says it will acquire Illinois-based Precision Planting. It's part of a move to diversify the company outside of the seed technology business. And leading executives in Singapore say there will be a switch from feed wheat to corn across Asia. Dave Dickey will have all these stories in a moment and many more. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City as we close out this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural an additional service to its customers. By Auditory Learned Care Center service is independent hearing care providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products Ford, to farmers throughout and other central Illinois County. The Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling hearing evaluation, as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago, and I'm still getting used to the settlement prices. You'll have to forgive me. I was running a couple of things at the same time there. We'll catch up with that in a moment, trying to figure out exactly what we have for settlement prices. And I think these are actually the 115 settlements. July contract in the soft red winter wheat, down 20 cents at 665 and a half. The September at 679 and three quarters, down 17 and three quarters. The hard red in Kansas City finished 15 cents lower at $6.86 and a half cents. And in Chicago from the corn pit, down or rather up 6.5 cents for the afternoon. And it settled at 603 and a half. September corn at $5.29 up 3. December at 523 up 1. And the March futures at 534 and a half, a penny and a half higher. July futures at 550, up 1 3/4. December of next year at 524 and a half, up 1 1/2 cents on the day. From the bean pit down 19 3/4, 1362 and a half, a settlement price there. August at 1342 and a half, down 22 1/4. September at 1295, down 19 3/4. November at 1257 3/4, down 24 1/2. And January futures 1257 and a half in the bean pit, 24 1/2 cents lower. Bean meal at 405.80. Up 80 cents. Bean oil at 48.91. That finished down $1.55 on the day. And the live cattle futures finished the nearby contract in the August at 119.50, up $1.77 and a half. August feeders at 158.47 and a half, down $1.65. The August lives were actually down $1.77 and a half. And the lean hogs finished at $85.55. They were down 60 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. August crude oil futures at $90.50 a barrel, down $1.65. The nearby July at $90.20, down $1.64. And ethanol at $2.13 and a half. That's 0.4 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.72 and 2 cents. Up 1 1/2 cents, and heating oil in the June contract at $2.81 and 7 cents, finished at 4 3/10 lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,548.10 an ounce, down $28.20, and the dollar now at 82.09, that's up 0.42. The CRB index down 5 points at 281.44. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 83 degrees tonight, mostly clear, with a low of 58. Tomorrow, sunny and 90. It'll be breezy tomorrow with a south wind at 10 to 13. It'll increase throughout the day to 21 to 24, sustained and gust to 32. And then tomorrow evening, partly cloudy, a low of 66 degrees. Southwest wind at 9 to 18, gusting to 26. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 89 on a calm wind. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 69 degrees. Mostly sunny on Saturday, a high of 92. Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 72. Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 93 degrees. Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 73.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson and Champaign is on the phone line today to take a look at the futures markets with us. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What an interesting day we've had today and yesterday. I happened to be out of the office and watched those numbers. Kind of a rough day yesterday, but a bit of a turnaround, unless, of course, you were looking at the bean pit for today, and it finished down 19 cents in the July and November. Off 24.5. Why?
Well, the good news about the bean pit, Todd, is that we actually finished 10 cents off the lows and about 6 cents off the lows. I think beans are coming under fire for a lot of different reasons. I think some of it is just the fact that we have heard that China may have canceled some of their orders on beans to South America. You know, that always shakes the trade up. I do believe, even though it's not quite the end of the month yet, I think we've got a lot of end-of-the-month squaring going on in this marketplace. And beans, of course, were popular. You know, we gained a tremendous amount, almost a dollar on beans, and now we've fallen back on it. So I think it's coming under scrutiny from a lot of funds who are just really not as thrilled about being long beans right this moment as what they were. You know, there's talk, too, that we might see more acres, you know, coming out on this on the June report. And so all of that, unless there's something really, really great in the marketplace, is going to weigh on beans for right now.
And then turn your attention to the corn. I take it that yesterday a large part of what happened was a result of the crop conditions report, which showed a very good corn crop in the ground and in condition at this point, though it's suffering still, as many people know, from a lack of rainfall in a large part of the Midwest. Nonetheless, I think, 77% good to excellent yesterday. That had a unique impact on the marketplace. Was there anything else that happened, and were you glad to see that today at least it held some ground?
Well, yes. There was a rumor that China had canceled some corn cargoes, and that really got onto the corn market after the crop ratings came in. I was thrilled to see it turn itself around today. Today, there was no confirmation on any Chinese drops in corn. We did see ethanol production up again this week over last week. We used 97.9 million bushels this week. We only need 93.7 to make the 5 billion bushel mark. Which the USDA has us set at. So I think right at the moment, corn's got some good things going for it. The spread between wheat and corn right now is at 62. That's a 26.5 cent drop today alone. So definitely wheat not going to be a big competitor for feed at this point in time. It's the old crop, new crop spread also is back up to 80.5. The lowest it's been in the last 3 weeks is 73. The highest it's been is $1.01. So I think we saw some people come back in and say, you know, I think we've taken old crop corn down as much as we need to after yesterday's debacle, and just came back in and bought the board, and corn looked like a better place to be right now.
Yeah, how much upside potential do you think there is in the corn market then?
Well, I think that, you know, some of it's going to depend on the weather we have this weekend. Yesterday we also had rain in the forecast. Now all of a sudden we're supposed to have heat, and the rain has been pushed off some, and so whether the rain develops or not will certainly determine how high we're going to go. I know that I can see us going back up into the 650 and maybe even to the 675 area. I saw an interesting article from Scott Irwin that came out, Todd, that he said he thought that we could go to 675 before we'd have any negative action at the ethanol level. And so perhaps one of the bigger issues is going to be what's going to happen with the Canadian rail strike. If that rail strike does not clear itself up quickly, that could push corn and beans down here that we normally wouldn't see because of the fact that either they aren't going to be able to meet their export sales that they've made out on the Pacific Northwest, and then they'd have to resource them down to the Gulf, which is going to be more expensive. And so, you know, anytime that you cause problems in the flow of grain within the United States, that's a big issue. And so I think that, too, will be something we'll be looking at very closely.
Yeah, I did talk to Scott earlier today. That's $6.75 cash, but, of course, the cash price is over the future, so you have to take that all into account. But, nonetheless, he does have a $6.75 out there as a mark that ethanol producers can survive and still do very well. That was an interesting article. Did you make note of the high price that ethanol producers could have paid for and when that was?
I actually didn't.
Oh, it was in November.
I only read the summary. Didn't have time.
Yeah, I understand. And I bring it up because I did have the time, and I talked to Scott. It was over $10 in November.
I can believe that.
It was a really high price. So if you haven't seen the article, you can wait. Scott will be on probably later this week. I'll get that produced and put it on the closing market report. Or you can go and read it at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. How concerned should we be, do you think, about the outside markets, especially what's happening in Greece again and the European Union?
Well, I think that has to be number one on the list when it comes to risk to all of us, when it comes to price. In looking at the euro situation right now, you know, the former Prime Minister Papademos came out and said, you know, if they exit the euro, this could be a catastrophe for Greece. But not only would it be a catastrophe for Greece, it would be a catastrophe for the European Union, even though they don't represent nearly as much. What they believe will happen, and I can see it, is that the U.S. dollar will take off, and suddenly we'll find the euro at only 1.1 to the U.S. dollar. That would not be good for us from a commodity standpoint, and it certainly would not be good for Europe in general. And so they've got a lot of things in the pipeline right now, Todd. They're talking about an alternative currency called a G-euro for Greece alone, and that would leave it open for Greece to come back into the European Union. And actually, in parts of Greece, they're already using an alternative. It's called a TEM, which is what they're doing is they're writing on a piece of paper and they're trading people for services is what they're doing to try and get around the currency situation and get prepared in case this happens. So, you know, last week you asked me what I would say to farmers because we had a rally in the corn market. You know, I thought one of the things I didn't do a good job of on that is bringing up, you know, if you have an 85% crop insurance level on your corn, that still really only gives you a 483 average for your crop. 75% is 426. And I think we have to be very much in tune with that because look what we've just seen happen in this marketplace. When we do get some rallies, we need to reward them with some type of action.
All right. We'll end it on that note. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Yep. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us from Champaign, Illinois on this Wednesday afternoon. By the way, visit our website. The address is willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. If you've been there lately and you were looking at our Follow the Corn tour, you probably noted that the tentative is no longer on the tour. We do have more than half of the bus filled at this point. Actually, not more than half. We have about half of the bus filled at this point, and I think it's probably more than that, but those aren't confirmed. So if you're thinking about going, you might want to get yourself signed up and registered. Visit willag.org. You're going to make a phone call to Judy Elfrich. She's over in Decatur, and get yourself set up to go with us August the 20th to the 24th to Follow the Corn. We'll head down to CGB's export facility near New Orleans.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
A couple of other notes. Yesterday, I made my way to Indianapolis for a couple of items, something that I had scheduled for about a month to go over and visit with the folks at Duncan Video, part of my job in the College of Bases, to see all kinds of new toys that I'd like to have but probably won't bother to pick up, but it's really good learning experience. And then we went out to the Indianapolis 500 to the Speedway and talked with Scott Williamson, who's now got a car that did qualify, and it will run in the 33rd slot on Sunday for the Indy 500. You can check out all that information on the Fan Force United Facebook page or fanforceunited.com website. It's really kind of cool, and if you're interested and know Scott and the folks at AgriGold, who he's employed by, you might pick that up. Here's Dave now.
China's cabinet promised today to step up efforts to reverse a steep slowdown in the world's second-largest economy and said it would encourage private investment in energy and other state-dominated industries. Economic growth in China fell to a nearly three-year low of 8.1% in the first quarter, and factory output in April grew at its slowest pace since 2008. Beijing has tried to pump money into the economy by easing credit controls, but Chinese media say bank lending has barely grown this month compared with a year earlier. That suggests that companies are delaying investment due to uncertainty about the economic outlook. The Australian unit of international food producer Cargill Incorporated is proposing to acquire the edible fats and oils business of Goodman Fielder. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission says on its website that it is considering the proposed acquisition in light of the current competitive environment and any developments in the relevant markets. Goodman Fielder produces staples such as bread, margarine, and flour. Monsanto Company is buying an Illinois planting technology company, part of an increased effort to expand its focus beyond seed production. Monsanto announced it will buy Precision Planting Incorporated for up to $250 million. Precision Planting makes technologies designed to help farmers improve seed spacing, depth, and root systems in their fields. Monsanto will pay $210 million for Precision Planting, plus a performance-based payment of up to $40 million. The transaction is expected to close this summer. And leading executives in Singapore today say that feed millers in East Asia are likely to switch to corn from wheat in the third quarter of this year because corn is again cheaper than wheat. Feed millers are expected to shift demand of around 3 million metric tons to corn from wheat over the next year starting on October 1st. Wheat on a delivered basis is now $10 to $15 a ton more expensive than corn. A year ago, U.S. corn was selling at a premium of $80 a ton to Australian feed wheat. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Hey, you know, farming is one of the nation's most dangerous jobs and has been for decades. In fact, last year it was the most dangerous job in the nation. The number one killer on the farm is a tractor turnover, so be careful when you're mowing ditches. There are about 170 deaths on the farm each year from this one type of accident, but there are other dangers, too. In a moment, I'll have more about the high-powered electrical lines on the farm. Electricity came to the farm in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, pushed forward by the REA, the Rural Electric Administration. It made life and work easier, but brought with it new dangers that are still with us some 70 years later, says University of Illinois Extension Agricultural Safety and Health Program leader Baba Heron.
Number one electrocution on farm is getting equipment caught in overhead power lines. And that's the issue there is just being able to avoid trying to or moving like grain augers or where we're trying to raise the bed of a truck up or something is to make sure we know where the overhead power lines are and stay significantly at least 10 feet clear of them by lowering the augers or making sure we're not raising our beds of our trucks or loading farm equipment on trailers underneath power lines. That's where we forget they're there and we get entangled and cause electrocution.
The second most common type of electrical accident on the farm is called a ground fault electrocution. It happens when a piece of electrical equipment is not properly grounded.
So the critical thing is that we make sure everything from our tools that are electrical to the electrical equipment that we use on farms, the generators, irrigation systems, large motors that we might be operating things, power washers and so forth. That they are grounded.
Actually, most electrical equipment is grounded twice, once by the line that feeds the electricity to the equipment, that's usually done by the electric company, and once at the equipment, say a generator or an electric motor on an irrigation system.
You have to have a ground wire that's connected to the circuits and also to the metal casings of, the, of this equipment. And that then is connected to a ground rod. That ground rod typically it can be copper is ideal and needs to be at least a half inch in diameter. You can use steel or iron rods. They need to be about 5/8 inch in diameter, minimum diameter. And then that rod needs to be in the ground at least 8 feet.
8 feet deep to ground the equipment. It simply means the path of least resistance for electricity that might get free of the system is down the rod and into the ground. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. By the way, proper grounding techniques for the farm can be found in the National Electric Code. It's available online. The code was updated last year by the National Fire Protection Association.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, on the phone line. Ben Stoller is with us this afternoon. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. Yourself, Todd?
I'm doing very well. So I don't know whether you've seen this yet or not, but Scott Irwin here on this campus yesterday, maybe earlier today, had penned a release taking a look at margins for ethanol plants and made a suggestion that in November, plants were doing really, really, really well, and that today, not so much, and that the most they could probably play for corn was cash side $6.75. I'm not going to ask what you can pay for corn on the cash side, but about the margins and the difference between November and today, and is it that striking?
You know, I would say that's probably true. We were, you know, actually having that discussion in our office this morning, and I won't say explicitly what we could pay, but, you know, margins certainly aren't great right now. But with the sell-off we've seen in the market in the past couple of days, we could, sure, we can pay 50s over and probably be doing okay.
Right, and so the point of the article was to kind of look forward and say, if we get to June, July, August, and the crop, the new crop isn't coming in, and the short, and there really truly is a shortage of corn, that the feed usage probably not going to cut back. The export markets are already booked, and then that leaves just ethanol to manage the rest of the rationing out. And I suppose that's the part that you, as a buyer, have to think about, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we certainly, you know, that's quite feasible to see some plants either slow down or take an extended, you know, August just maintenance period and maybe not grind at all for a couple of weeks. So that would be possible.
Okay, and then very quickly, can you give me something about basis and your bids, please?
Sure. We're just seeing basis continuing firm, seeing an uptick, seeing basis in the mid-40s, the 50s on the corn side. Cash bids for tonight, Delphi corn, 638. Climbers corn, 647. Ibeck ethanol plant, 638. And beans to Delphi, 1344.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Todd.
That's Ben Stoller. He's with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. By the way, I think when I talked to Scott, and I've got to go back and check this, but that income at 675 was really kind of a loss for a lot of those plants. So we'll see how that all plays out. Back in 2 minutes when we talk about the cash grain markets, or rather the ag weather.
It's National Taffy Day. Taffy has been part of American life since the late 1800s and has been a beachside tradition since it appeared in Atlantic City more than 100 years ago. Joseph Freilinger is credited with making saltwater taffy popular. Freilinger observed sunbathers and boardwalk visitors and came up with the idea to sell saltwater taffy. He figured tourists would want a reminder or souvenir of their vacation to Atlantic City. As an experiment, Freilinger boxed the candy and sold it one weekend. It was an overnight success. On this day in agricultural history in 1820, James Eads was born. An American engineer, he was responsible for building the two-tier triple-arch steel bridge over the Mississippi River at St. Louis. The bridge was the first in the U.S. to use cantilevered construction, and it opened on July 4th of 1874. He also created a year-round navigation channel for New Orleans. And in 1954, Keith Campbell was born. Campbell was a key member of the science team that produced the first mammal clone, a lamb called Dolly. Dolly lived 6 years and produced six lambs. While most sheep are generally shy around humans and huddle at the back of their pens when visitors come, Dolly loved attention. She would often rush to the front of her stall when she saw people coming by, bleating loudly. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated on the phone line from Kansas City. Drew, tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest to start with, please.
Well, we've got a ridge of high pressure that's going to be building up across the region now for the next 3 days. And as it gets stronger, we're going to find the temperatures getting warmer. And in addition to that, we're going to continue downplaying precipitation across the region. So the ground is going to firm up fairly quickly and fairly significantly. Not that it's not already a little on the dry side. And we do have quite a few areas in the region that are getting pretty significantly dry. The southern parts of Illinois, a fair amount of southeastern Missouri down into the northern part of the Delta, in fact, all the northern and western parts of the Delta are really quite dry right now. So we do need to see some significant rain to fall across some of these areas, and the sooner the better. Now, the good news is that come next week, probably Monday and Tuesday, there'll be a fairly stiff surge of cool air coming southward from Canada, and it will bring some rain and thunderstorm activity with it. Almost everybody across the region will have a chance for some rain. I would say amounts are going to run from about 2/10 to 3/4 of an inch. That's not a lot of rain. We may get a couple of spots that could end up with more than an inch, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that maybe the event will become more significant in time. Well, today the midday model run came out and suggested that there was less precipitation for the follow-up storm system, which is supposed to occur in the second half of next week going into the following weekend. I think this event is probably incorrectly being presented by the midday model, so I think we'll stick with the official forecast that brings in a second wave of precipitation across the Midwest during that period, the latter part of next week into that following weekend. And it should be another 3/4 of an inch of rain for a fairly large part of the region. So overall, the bottom line is we're going to get a little stressed out here for a little bit on the dry side and because of the heat, and then we'll get some relief coming on next week.
Should give the corn an opportunity to put a root down just a bit deeper and then get a little moisture to bring it back up to snuff, I suppose. What do you see in the soft red and hard red winter wheat growing areas, especially the Plains State for the hard red?
We have been a little stressed out there in parts of Kansas here recently and really done some damage to some of the hard red winter wheat crop in that state because it was too dry. Basically, there's several locations out there had no rain so far this month, and the crop was going through its filling and maturing stage of development, so we did lose some quality and some yield there. Further to the north, though, Nebraska and points north and all the way up into the Dakotas, the conditions up there are all doing really quite well. We're getting timely precipitation, a good alternating pattern of warm and cool weather. It's a pretty good situation. And in the heart of the soft wheat areas in the Midwest, I think we're doing relatively well. In addition to those areas, it is getting a little dry, but, you know, the crop is getting pretty far advanced, too. So as long as we get some timely rain next week, I think we're going to be okay.
And then turn your attention to Asia, China in particular.
China is still dealing with some dryness in their famous North China Plain, which is a very rich crop region. They do irrigate quite a bit of their winter crops there and a fair amount of the summer crops, but there's a lot of real estate that's running quite dry right now, about 3 or 4 weeks' worth of no precipitation or darn little, and it looks like we're going to do at least another week to 10 days of the same kind of pattern. So we're probably going to be pushing the old envelope there as well and maybe losing a little yield potential for some of the early season crops like corn and also perhaps for some of the groundnuts that are going into the ground there.
Drew, thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.